You're listening to the Slavic Literature Pod, your shelf help guide to all things Slavic.
I'm Cameron Lalana.
And I'm Matt Garasimovic.
And today we're covering Vasily Grossman's Life and Fate, covering Part 2, Chapter 56. And I apologize so much for the background noise, but we're covering... A very bad day for Victor, other than the slight chance to cheat on his wife, which seems to brighten him up a little bit. Classic Victor content.
Yeah, this is this one was really something, I thought. Just the this sort of almost what felt like inevitable to us, this final meeting, or this fated meeting, rather, between Victor and Masha. And them taking a walk around the park and kind of having this beautiful, so Victor kind of thinks, this beautiful moment between the two of them, not thinking about each other's husbands and wives, of course, although at various points thinking about each other's husbands and wives and making direct comments to each other about
right.
them. And I think that I sort of, this is a strange chapter for me because I don't really know where I come down on it, so to speak. Just the what I sense from this is just this yearning to have this sort of connection that doesn't exist in their own marriages, and this yearning to have this sort of ideal, perhaps constructed version of another person that they know they will never have, yet they're able to have in these small doses and these small moments, and that is maybe helpful for them. I'm not sure. And like we kind of talked about last chapter, well, if someone else was to live with Victor day in, day out, maybe that would be the end of it. Or perhaps maybe Ludmila is just really over Victor. It's a little hard to say.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that, when Victor's fantasizing about his interaction with Maria, it's not anything specific, more than that he just fantasizes about the idea of talking frankly with someone and having someone talk frankly back to him. We've talked about loneliness in this novel, but I think it really comes to the fore here with these two characters who are both so alone. And that's really emphasized by the contrast with Kazan, where they were both so among friends. And now that the interactions of Kazan cast a pall over them because that may condemn them here back in Moscow now.
And there's this kind of moment where Victor is, it doesn't even matter literally whatsoever what he's thinking, but he's thinking about something, and Maria Ivanovna, she says basically back to him what he's thinking. Oh, you must have been so concerned about this or that, or you must be thinking about this or that. And for Victor, he very rarely in his home personal life has, someone who's on the same page as him, I would say, or even, thinking about the same kind of things that he's thinking about. So I think for him to have literally anyone trying to, or to have someone that he's conversing with that's really kind of there and conversing with him, he's kind of, well, he's taken aback. And I don't know if he knows what to do with that kind of attention, quite frankly.
Right. Well, you have this with obviously kind of romantic scene where Victor has, simultaneously some conceptions of what's going on, but also really no idea what's going on, where he's just like, oh, thank God Maria's here. I can talk, hopefully we can talk frankly, unlike, myself and my friends and my colleagues and my family. but remains as more or less obtuse as ever as to what exactly he's doing here.
Yeah, it's a conundrum, I would say. It's not his first by any means. I think this is not a particularly healthy marriage, but
no,
Victor
is
marriage
constantly
it's all technical some technical definitions.
It meets the legal requirements for it. Yes,
mm-hmm. It meets the bare legal Soviet requirements.
Right. I mean, compared to the Stalingrad, where Victor almost cheats on his wife, I think this one has a greater thematic import than just he's like slightly lonely while he's in Moscow without his family. So
yeah,
that.
But that being said, you could see
you can indeed.
Yeah, those two chapters, like side by side, are not that different, I don't think.
No, yeah, they there's a lot of similarities. Even though so many of these characters go through such an evolution in when it comes to life and fate, I think Victor goes through a lot less of an evolution than the rest. Whereas in Stalingrad, a lot of these characters are upright Soviet citizens. Victor never really changes. Now he's chafing under the system in a way that he did not in
The
Stalingrad, but
doors are closing. Please stand clear of the doors.
he's essentially the same in every other respect.
I love that no one's gonna want to sit with you because you're gonna be the crazy man talking to himself.
I know. It's really, I mean, it's benefit in other ways. Maybe we should do this more often.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think that's kind of all I wanted to say in this chapter. This was a chapter.
Yeah, I agree. That's it's one of them. It's one of them in the book.
It is one of them in the book, and Victor is kind of our king, regardless. He's our he's unfortunately the king we're stuck with.
He's the king in kind of the Crusader Kings context where well, he's certainly legally got the right to be, and he's here nonetheless,
Right.
so
He's our medieval king. He is there.
yeah. Well, in that case, maybe this is a good place to wrap up.
I agree. I think this is a good spot to leave it. So in that case, you will hear from us again soon.